mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 3, The Mercy to the Worlds. SubhanAllah, we have been on an amazing journey through the life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, year by year, some amazing events. And then over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the miracles of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today, I've got another topic for you, and a very, very important and very interesting one. Because we've learnt in this series how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all their life Mubarak worked for us, the Ummatis. But today, I want to talk about something different, something else, the other parts of the equation. But I'll tell you about that in a bit. Let me start with this beautiful couplet. Ruhi Qur'an, Jani Iman, Maghze Deen, Hast Hubbe Rahmatan Lil Alameen. The spirit of the Quran, the life of Iman, and the essence of Deen is nothing other than the muhabbat, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the essence of everything. Now, there are many blessings of reciting through the Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Akka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade, three people will be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first, the one who relieves a distress of my ummati. The second, the one who revives my sunnah. And the third, the one who recites Durood e Pak upon me in abundance. We should try and help others. We should try and act upon the beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And above all else, we should spend our time as much as we can reciting Durood as Salaam upon the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we go to our kalam today, let me ask you the question of today. It's a very interesting one. Which companion was known as the sword of Allah Azza wa Jal? That is the question. Answer at the end. We're going to go to a beautiful kalam by Rukni Shura Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Damul Barakatum Al-Aliyah. Let's listen to this and let's pay attention, because the message in this and the thought of this particular kalam is very important, because it's one of those feelings, it's one of those experiences that we all long for. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Pyare Islami bhaiyon aur Madani Channel ke nazreen, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह अज़्ज़ा वजल, बचपन में जो मुझे याद पड़ता है, ज़िंदगी में सबसे पहले अगर मैंने कोई नात पढ़ी थी तो वो यही नात थी जो आज मैं आपके सामने एक बार फिर पेश कर रहा हूँ।
किस तरह पांव रखे या साहिबे बसीरत, साहिबे बसीरत, किस तरह पांव रखे या साहिबे बसीरत, आंखें बिछी हुई है हर जा तेरी गली में, दुनिया तेरी गली में, उकबा तेरी गली में,
अबा कहाँ चले?
मदीने,
मदीने का सफर है और मैं नंदीदा, नंदीदा, जबी अफसुर्दा, अफसुर्दा, कदम लवजीदा, लवजीदा,
चला हूँ
چلا ہوں ایک مجرم کی طرح میں جانب توبہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے بصارت محبت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے. مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ نادیدہ, مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ نادیدہ. مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نمدیدہ نمدیدہ, جبھی افسردہ افسردہ, قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ. وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر, وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر, فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ رنجیدہ. فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ رنجیدہ. مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نمدیدہ نمدیدہ, جبھی افسردہ افسردہ, قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ.
Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam. You know, a lot of people have this desire to make that journey to Madinatul Munawwara. Unfortunately, some can't afford it, some don't have the means, some don't have the health. But if you have those things, and you have that yearning inside you to present yourself in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal before the grand Kaaba, and in the court of the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, the beautiful Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then why not take that leap? You know, I notice that sometimes when we need to go to our home country, and even the slightest excuse is enough, and we say, find the tickets and off we go. Well, why don't we do the same when it comes to Medina? Look for the slightest excuse. I'm feeling a bit down, I'm going to Medina. I've got a problem, I'm going to Medina to get the solution. You know, I'm missing my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm going to Medina. And then, inshallah, like Abdul Habib I was saying, we will be on this grand journey, which every time is the journey of a lifetime. Subhanallah. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
We learnt about how much love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has for us. You know, the hardships that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through for this ummah, for me and you. The difficulties Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured to give the guidance of deen, to bring people out of the darkness, to reform the world, to give us the keys to Jannah. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to put up with a lot. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says all the prophets went through difficulties and trials and tribulations, but none more so than me. And all for the love of the ummati, the love for us. You know, as an individual, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned for every single ummati, that my ummati gains forgiveness in the court of Allah azza wa jal, that my ummati is saved from the fire of hell, that my ummati doesn't have any calamities in the world, isn't left unguarded and unprotected in the world. I mean, would you ever have a friend, a master, a person, a protector who's looking after you so much, This unparalleled affection, this devotion, and this concern can only come from one personality in the universe. And that personality was described as a mercy to us all. This is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are not just emotional words of an ummati when talking to other fellow ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, it goes much further than that. Surah Tawbah, verse 28. And I want you to listen to this very carefully. Indeed, there has come to you a messenger from among you. Your falling into hardship aggrieves him, most concerned for your well-being, for the believers, most compassionate, most merciful. Now, this is an amazing ayah mubarakah. This tells us that when you are in stress, when you are in a calamity, when you are in a difficulty, then maybe your parents don't know, your brothers and sisters, your family, your wife, maybe they'd know and they're not too bothered or they have a little bit of concern. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one single creation of Allah azza wa jal who knows your pain, your emotional trauma, and is worried about you and is concerned about you and cares about you. How amazing is that? And this wasn't just restricted to the time, but the scholars write that even now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their Roza Mubarak in Medina Sharif, Allah azza wa jal has given the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the power to know what the ummati is doing. And when the ummati does a good thing, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raise their hands and thank Allah azza wa jal. When an ummati commits a sin, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask forgiveness in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And when an ummati is in difficulty, the world may turn a blind eye to you, but the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, the mercy to the worlds, is always worried about you, concerned about you. Your falling into hardship aggrieves him. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get upset in their Roza Mubarak that my ummati is in difficulty. They get upset because my ummati is in debt. They get upset because my ummati has lost his job. They get upset because my ummati's children are not obedient. They get upset because my ummati is upset. Will you find anybody in the world who is so compassionate and so merciful? And that's the words that the Quran uses, Raufur Rahim. You know, so compassionate and so merciful that the scholars write that even if a nettle catches your foot and causes a little bit of pain, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still feels that and, you know, is so compassionate and so affectionate towards us that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worries for us. Where would you get such an amazing, amazing prophet, subhanAllah, spending their entire nights in worshipping, spending their days asking for the forgiveness of the ummah, going to the caves and spending days begging Allah Azza wa Jal for our forgiveness, and standing so much at night, my dear viewers of Madni Channel, that the feet Mubarak would swell up. And Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, would say, my Habib, don't stand so much that it causes you difficulty. This is the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to all these extents? What, to please Allah azza wa jal, no doubt, but for the love of the ummah. All these difficulties Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore, all the enemies that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to fight on different levels, all the, you know, all the most difficult calamities that one can think of, most emotional traumas that one can think of. Even their family turned away from them. Their own uncles fought them. They were, you know, basically taken out of Makkah and put in a barren valley and had to eat leaves. And their companions were tortured. But it was all for me and you, all for this ummah. So the question is this. We know that the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was magnificent. We know that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through all these difficulties. We know that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has love and affection for us. And we know that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed us with the light of guidance in Islam. But the question today is different. The question is, what rights does Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have over you? What should you be doing in the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, what rights does Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have over the ummati, that the ummati should be fulfilling? These are obligations upon us. Have we ever thought about that? It seems to be one-way traffic. You know, we've got the deen, we've got the Quran, we've got, you know, the way to live our lives, we've got the light of guidance, we've got the nur of hidayat, we've got all of this. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed us with it. But what are our duties? Have we ever thought about that? How do we now respond to this amazing, amazing creation, the best of creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, who sacrificed their lives for us? Their entire life was sacrificed for the ummati. Their entire life was, even when Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was putting a veil between themselves and this world, the words on the lips Mubarak was, Rabbi habli ummati, Ya Allah my ummat. So what rights do Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have over the ummati? And that's what I wanted to discuss today. Imam Qazi Iyaz rahmatullahi mentions these rights exclusively in Al-Shifa. And I'm going to give you a brief summary of them. These are what we should be thinking about when in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've learnt about the magnificent life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the difficulties, the battles, the struggles. We've learnt about the amazing miracles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know about the amazing character of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that the world is mesmerized by this beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what about what we should be doing? So Qazi Iyaz rahmatullah alayhi says, bringing faith, iman upon the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla is the first. Following the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla and his tradition, his beautiful sunnah. Two, obedience to the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla. Love for the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla. Respect and reverence for the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla. Praise for the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla. Invoking blessing, salawat upon the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and visiting the blessed grave of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, each one of these we're going to today look at in a bit more detail. Bringing faith upon the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is an obligation, farz-e ain, that we believe in Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every believer is only a believer when he believes in the prophethood of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and accepts and affirms that this beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah azza wa jal. And the true believer is the one who engraves this on his heart, mind and soul. The glorious Quran guides us. And whoever does not accept faith in Allah and his noble messenger, we have indeed kept prepared a blazing fire for the disbelievers. Now here, the verse is very clear, the scholars write, that it demonstrates that you have to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, but that isn't enough on its own. No, this is why it's an article of faith, because Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, Surah Fath, verse 13, that whoever does not accept faith in Allah Azza wa Jal and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the noble messenger, then he is destined to hellfire. And so the scholars say that testifying to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal is only part of Iman, and testifying to the messengerhood of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completes your Iman. This is why we have La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the article of faith, because it is complete. And the scholars write that look at the test in the grave. We've had this life, and you'll know from YOLO 1 that we were on a journey through, you know, the journey of the soul. We were created in Alamul Arwah. Our soul remained there for millions of years. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Then we came to the stomach of our mothers, and then we were born into this world, and then we had this short life of 70, 80 years in this world. And then we're going to have a life of the grave, the day of judgment, 50,000 years, and then eternal Jannah or eternal Jahannam. Now, after this 70, 80 year life, some people die early, some die later, you get to the grave. And the scholars write that the real test for all of these, this long journey of the soul, is this life that you have in between. So when you die and you get to the grave, it's a tier system. And you have exams, and you have an exam in the grave that you have to pass. And the angels come and they ask you, who is your Lord? Man Rabbuka. They ask you, what is your deen? Madinuk. Now the scholars write something very interesting here. They say that the angels ask three questions. The third question is, ما كنت تقول في هذا الرجل? What did you say about this beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now, the first question is, who is your Lord? But it isn't determinative. Because if it was, then as soon as you said Rabbi Allah, the doors of Jannah would be opened, your grave would be a garden of paradise. But it doesn't happen that way. Second, ma dinuk? What is your deen? My deen is Islam. Al-deen al-Islam. Okay, so that testifies that you read your namaz, you kept your fasts, you did your hajj, you paid your zakat, you read the kalma, you believed in Allah Azza wa Jal. So surely now the door to Jannah will open. Surely now you will be in a blissful grave. But no, the next part of this exam is actually so important that it trumps the other two questions. Because Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, when he wrote these, this hadith is quoted many, many times. But in apart from, I think, one place, he only quotes the last and final question, because this is the main question. And that question is, and the exact translation is, the scholars tell us, what did you say about this beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while in the world? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Chihra Mubarak, the beautiful face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be presented. And you will be asked that question, what did you say? And now, if you get this question wrong, the grave will not open up into a garden of paradise. This is the determinative question. This is what everything rests on. This is where the balance of the scales is on. If you get this question right, then Jannat, you know, paradise is your destination. But you get this question wrong, then you have failed in your mission. And this is why the scholars say that the believing in the messengerhood and the finality of the Prophet ﷺ as the last and final messenger, believing in Al-Qaim ﷺ, is the most important question. Now here the shaitan may say, well, how can that be? You already declared your belief to Allah Azza wa Jal. That surely should have been enough. Why is it belief in the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal that is determinative? And what the scholars write is something very beautiful. They say that when you profess to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, a lot of people believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, you could be from any one of those denominations and those sects. When you believe in Islam, you could be part of different people. But when you believe in the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, when you accept the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, within this question are included impliedly the first two questions as well. Because if you believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you must believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. If you believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you must believe in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this is why this question is determinative. It is the last and final and the main question, because it encompasses everything in it. You can believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and not believe in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can believe in the deen and still not believe in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Allah Azza wa Jalla. But when you believe in the best of creation, you automatically believe in the creator, and you automatically believe in the deen that the creator, the religion that the creator has sent. SubhanAllah, how beautiful is that? So the first one, faith upon the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Our faith needs to be strong. The second, Qazi Iyaz rahmatullahi alayhi writes that we are all almost programmed to copy. You know, we sometimes pretend that we don't like copying other people, but we do. As we grow up, as children, we learn from our environment that we're in, how to behave, how to interact, and we even copy the clothes and everything else that people wear. If you're brought up in one country, you will have certain traditions. You brought up another country, you'll wear something totally different, and different traditions and different ways of acting, different characteristics and everything else. So your place determines, your environment determines who you become. You know, and in today's modern world with social media and everything else and television and its influences, today we live our lives copying others and copying their ways, and certain things we like, certain things we don't, fashion and everything else. Qazi Iyaz rahmatullah alayhi writes that it is incumbent, it is part of our nature to want to copy, to want to be like somebody else, to want to adopt an environment, to adopt ways. That's how we learn. And he says it's incumbent upon every Muslim not to take his copying, the thing he copies from others. No, he should be following the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla's pristine way of life, the perfect way of life, the beautiful way of life, the crystal clear way of life, the beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an obligation on us. You know, as ummatis of a Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's always looking out for us and always worried about us, we owe a duty of debt and gratitude in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, to believe in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wholeheartedly. And two, to adopt his beautiful sunnahs. The Holy Quran says, Surah Ali Imran, verse 31, O beloved, say, O mankind, if you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you and forgive your sins, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. This is a very, very important ayah mubarakah, because it says that if you love Allah Azza wa Jal, then how do you show that love? How do you express that love? How do you act on that love? The acting upon it, the showing of that love is by obeying the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. How do we obey the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal? We copy the beautiful sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We adopt the beautiful life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, this is where a lot of us have a misunderstanding. Islam didn't just come to us and say, this is how you read namaz, this is how you fast, this is how you do pay zakat, this is how you do hajj. No. Islam came to show us a way of life. This is how you behave in the morning. This is how you brush your teeth. This is how you live your life. This is how you wear your clothes. From the moment a child is born, what happens with his akika, his hair, and everything else, Islam deals with. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to name a child, how to bring up a child, how to, you know, look out for at different ages, and how to give them the proper upbringing and the proper tarbiyat and the proper nurturing that they need. How at the age of 7 you need to teach them namaz. How at the age of 11 you need to make sure they read namaz. How as the child gets older you give them that, you respect their autonomy, but you teach them and you bring them close to the deen. And that's just one area. Look at the married life. Look at the parents, the rights of parents. Every aspect of life Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. Now, the problem we have, and the reason our lives are sometimes in disarray, is because when it comes to our namaz, we'll pray 5 times a day. When it comes to roze, we'll keep our 30 fasts. We'll pay our zakat. We'll go to hajj once in a lifetime. But then when you come back to life, we think, well, that's my religious side done. It's over there. And now I need to get back to whatever I'm doing. And in our life, we say, well, I'll copy this and that and this person and that person, and he sounds good and he sounds okay. And that's when we fall into difficulty. And that's when calamities and difficulties surround us. Because it may seem attractive at the beginning, but adopting the ways of others always leads to difficulties. Whereas adopting the beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is success in this world and the hereafter. This is why, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings are the light and the nur. If you start to bring those aspects of the life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into your life, just by copying them, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, just by adopting the beautiful sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you get? Well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to read the ayat of the Quran to you again. O mankind, if you love Allah, follow me. You get this love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. By following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leads to the love of Allah. The love of Allah requires you to copy the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uphold the sunnah and act upon it. Don't turn away from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, we look for bliss and peace in our lives, and we are never going to find that in the ways of other people. No. When you sit down to eat, for example, there's no sin in eating with a knife and a fork and everything else, with all the pomp and the three plates and everything else. But when you eat according to the beautiful sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you learn the beautiful sunnats, and you wash your hands, and you sit down, and you read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the du'a for eating, and then you eat in accordance with the sunnah, and you eat till you know you're not totally full, and then you leave some hunger, and then you eat with three fingers, and when you drink water, you drink sitting down, and you drink it with three. All of this, not only has its benefits, health benefits, and we're not bothered about them. It could have no health benefits. It's the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the biggest benefit and the biggest blessing of it. And this is why Qazi Iyaz rahmatullah alayhi writes that acting upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a right that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over us. You know, we've heard how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through the difficulties, but my and your duty is to bring as many sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives as we can. You know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, the companions were amazing. They wanted to copy Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every element of their lives. And Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, says that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, when they were about to depart from this world, how many pieces of cloth were there to the burial shroud, the kafan mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on which day did he pass away? So not only had Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Ashiq Sadiq, the greatest devotee of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, copy everything during the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even when he's about to die, he's not worried about departing from this world. He's more worried about how many pieces of cloth the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, and what day the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this world. Subhanallah. This was the love for the sunnah and the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is once walking past a gathering, and people have very lavish food there, and they say, why don't you come and join us? And this is clearly in the era where Islam was conquering lands, and Islam was getting rich, and people were getting wealthy. And you know, his reply was that, how can I eat such scrumptious food when the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal never filled his stomach even with refined bread made from barley? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wouldn't even eat the normal stuff, the bread and barley, to the stomach full, and yet you're having these big meals. I can't do that. Then, you know, the companions, their passion for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just knew no bounds. There was a great story. You know, we know Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu conquered 2.25 million square miles. People, the kings of the Persian and Roman Empire used to tremble at his very mention. And they had sleepless nights because of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So once in Medina, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was very just and very strong and very firm. He says there were some people who'd kind of moved the front of their shops or their houses slightly into the street. So he tore them down. He said, you can't do this. This is a public way. How dare you? And one of the people wasn't that wealthy. So he said, well, look, Umar is doing this because we are poor. He doesn't say anything to the rich. If he did, look, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has got a house near Madinatul Nabawi Sharif. And he's got a gutter pipe sticking out. And in those days, the gutter pipes were like the one you see on the Kaaba, the Mazhab-e Rahmat. You know, it sticks out at right angles to the building. He said, this gutter pipe was sticking out into the street. Right? People passing to go to Masjid Nabawi Sharif were passing under it. And when it rained, obviously water came through it and people got drenched. So they said, well, if Umar was that just, why doesn't he go and take that down? Why is he just taking our walls down? Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu found out about this. He was on his ride, he was on his camel, he goes there, he sees, yes, the gutter's pointing into the street. He grabs hold of it, pulls it off, knocks on the door and says to the people of the household, there are four corners, go put the gutter somewhere else. Why have you got it on the side, which is troubling the people. People walk past, their clothes get wet, and they're going to the masjid. Go put it on another side. And he leaves. Nobody had the guts to say anything to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come home. The family say, you know, Umar came and he pulled off the gutter and he said, put it on another place, don't put it in this side. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, smiled. And he said, Umar took it off, Umar will come and put it back. The people said, we're talking about Umar ibn Khattab here. We're talking about the Umar that the Kisra and Kesar, the Persian Empire's Heracles, tremble in their boots at the very mention of Umar. And you're saying, Umar's going to come back and put it back on? He said, yes, Umar will come back. Goes to the masjid to pray namaz. After namaz, he hasn't said anything. Hazrat Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is sat there patiently. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala comes over. He says, Hazrat, I came to your house. I took down the gutter. There are four sides to the house. You can put it on another side. Why put it on the side that can inconvenience those going into the masjid? Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, yes, Umar, you're right. It did inconvenience the people. And I thought about that many times. There was one factor which stopped me from ever taking it off. But now that you've done it, it's fine, it's done, and we'll find another place for it. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala says, okay, tell me, what was that factor? What was that thing that stopped you taking that gutter piece off? He says, well, when I was making my house, the beloved Habib of Allah Azza wa Jal walked past and said, oh uncle, you're making your house, let me add my share to it. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on my shoulders and put that gutter into place. And so because it was there through the blessed hands of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I didn't have the courage to remove it. But now Umar, you've done it, so it's fine, it's done now. But I didn't have the courage. He looks back and says, no, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala is in a state of panic. He said, what? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put that there with their own hands, Mubarak? We have to replace it. He grabs his hand and takes him there. But he says, Hazrat Abbas says, Umar, it's inconveniencing the people. He said, doesn't matter about the people. He said, but when it rains, it's different. He said, it doesn't matter. When it comes to the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nothing else matters. Now, you know, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on your shoulders and put this up. Hazrat Abbas, please, I'm begging you. You stand on my shoulders. You stand on the shoulders of Umar. And you replace this gutter exactly where my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put it. This was the love for anything connected to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was the love and passion for the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ways of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, here it was just a gutter that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had put in place. And yet the companions couldn't bear to, you know, even contemplate interfering with anything. This is why we say that our life should evolve around the sunnats of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the true decoration of your life. And that is the true peace and tranquility. You know, sometimes we think, if I have such and such a car, such and such a thing, such and such a way, it will be brilliant. But when we get there, we don't feel that peace and tranquility. The one beauty of sunnah is every single sunnah you learn and then act upon, every time you do it in the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you get amazing peace and tranquility and satisfaction in your heart. This is the beauty of the sunnah. Yeah, I'll just deal with one other matter before I go on to my easy good deeds. Obedience to the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, every ummati of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to obey the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Quran time and time again says, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul. You know, oh you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger. Surah Nisa, ayah 59. Then ayat 80. Whoever obeys the noble messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. Now it couldn't be more crystal clear. You know, when you want to please Allah Azza wa Jal, the simple solution is do those things that please Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Azza wa Jalla will be pleased. And a lot of people have difficulty with this concept. Go to the Glorious Quran translation from Kanzul Iman. You can get it and download it free of Dawat-e-Islami, the website. And if you go to that and you look at it, you will know that this is what it says. Whoever obeys the noble messenger has indeed obeyed Allah Azza wa Jalla. And never be in any doubt. The ayat Surah Nisa 69. And whoever obeys Allah and His noble messenger will be with those upon whom Allah has bestowed grace. That is, the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the virtuous, and what excellent companions they are. So when you act upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you obey the commands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will love you, Allah will be pleased with you, and Allah Azza wa Jal will keep you with the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the virtuous. Subhanallah. Because you obeyed the messenger and the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is how amazing it is. I'm going to move to my easy deeds section because today I've got an easy good deed for you. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
So your easy good deed this week is to learn just one sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want you to pick whatever you want, whether it's a sunnah of eating, whether it's a sunnah of talking, whether it's a sunnah, it's a beautiful Imam al-Sharif, pick a sunnah and start acting upon it. If you shave, forget shaving. Saying the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to decorate my face with this beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you sit down to eat, adopt a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At least one. If you can do more, Madina, Madina. But at least one sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever you want. But at least one sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this week. That is your easy good deed. Because you know what that will do? Do it in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it's Miswak Sharif or anything. And you can find hundreds of different sunnah mubarakas. Act upon one. And then watch how the love of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grows in your heart. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, the question for today was, which companion is known as the sword of Allah Azza wa Jal? And the answer, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So that was the answer to today's question. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us all. And don't forget, learn a sunnah this week. That's the easy good deed. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world. 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 Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.